Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. You know, it's been a bit of a struggle, but here we are. Here we are. And here we are going to be. Praise the Lord. But I thank God that everything that has happened for a reason. Amen? And now we are progressively knowing what that reason is. So you see, there is something that we as an end-time church, which I continue to emphasize, which is different from the churches that were there before, okay, which I call the 1970s churches, which are get born again and what, and, you know, go to heaven and God is good. There's something about us which we have to understand and which perhaps we don't always understand, and that is the amount of responsibility that God has given to us as a people. But he hasn't just given us responsibility. He has also given us certain privileges to hear certain words which people in time past used not to hear. But you see, to whom much is given, much is required. Now, when you listen to so much of fresh word inspired from the Spirit, a lot is required of you. Amen? So much is required of you. For instance, the disciples who walked with Jesus had the privilege of hearing his words. Simon Peter at some stage says, "To whom shall we go? You are the one who has the words of eternal life." They were privileged to listen to those words. But along with that privilege came the responsibility of starting the church when Jesus died. Imagine if they had just listened to it and listened to it. And Jesus dies and goes back and they are cheating. And they do not take on the responsibility. Because you see, he committed to them the duty of establishing the church through the generations. And along with the privilege came the responsibility. And thank God they understood it. And they walked in it. But now, it's not any different from us in the end time church. That was the beginning of the church age. Now we are living in the end of the church age. And we are also required to have a similar responsibility to go and do big exploits for God. To go and carry this message with power and with dominion across the nations. Praise the Lord. Now, you might not see yourself as that, but maybe you are going to in a short time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. First of all, are you happy?
Yes.
Eh? Okay. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, when you know that parable of when Jesus, starting from verse 14, he talks about the talents. You know the parable of the talents. Then he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to one 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability." Now, there is no detail that is not necessary. He says to each according to his own ability. Now, why does it say his own ability? Whose other ability would it be if it wasn't his? Of course, there's an ability that is given to you by God. And that is not your own ability. That is the ability that God has given to you. Now, that is different because God can give you an ability which is international. Let's say you're supposed to have international dominion. But your own ability, you stay in a village. Your own is what you've worked out yourself. His is what he gives you. I'll give you an example. Imagine, like, let's say God has given you the ability to be the greatest footballer in the world, like Messi. That is his ability. Now, your own ability can be limited to, "I just want to play for Villa here and I will be okay. If I can have a house somewhere and, you know what, I will be fine." And now that is your own ability, not his. Now, everybody who comes here, of course, let me tell you, there is no part of this, like, where there are people who are not of great stature as far as God is concerned. Now, as far as he's concerned, you have great stature. But now, what he gives you is going to be according to your own ability. That is the ability that you yourself has worked out yourself. Okay? Now, that's why he says to his own ability. And by the way, if you go to any other translation, they insist his own ability. Each one he gave according to his own ability or his own capability. Now, the reasons that people do not actually work out their own ability to match God's ability are so many. Many of them are cultural. For instance, you grew up in some village and you looked up to some man who, you know, I remember when we were young, that time there was this coffee and so on. So when we were in school, and people say that, huh, if somebody has a coffee machine, you are not going to be poor all your lives. But, you know, and now something sets that up, and it is there. And everybody works out their ability according to what, sometimes, it isn't not supposed to be that way, but according to what their culture does for them. You see, eh? Now, I remember sometime I was in those places where these athletes go, these Kenyan runners. Now, those people, their dreams are bigger than ours, because I used to see ours here. Our runners here, somebody runs, wins a Kamedo, gets some Kamane, goes and gets a Chumacha Kasori in somewhere in Kapchorwa where he comes from, and now he's a Nagag. And his own ability does not go beyond that. But in actual sense, you could find that person is supposed to be totally dominant in that world for almost 10 or 15 years. But they don't ever develop it because they limit themselves to what culture, to what exposure has put in front of them as success. So that's where they limit themselves. Now, in Kenya, on the other hand, you'd find ladies, young girls in their early 20s who have already won a lot of money running races. They come and park convertible BMWs in those Ngong Hills. Okay? And from usually, they don't have Christmas because when Christmas is on, they are actually training in those hills because the athletic season across the world starts around February and March. So that's when they, now for them, they lock, you know, it ends around September. So that's when they have some chill. Then after that, they go there, park very expensive cars and go and live in dormitories, eating ugali and waking up every morning to run. Eating ugali and sukuma wiki and waking up every morning to run. And these are millionaires because they are going to earn a lot of money. But there's something about them which is different from ours. For them, they have ambitions which are bigger. Now, the first one that buys a convertible, that's it. He has run to the end of his own ability. Now, these ones, they have convertibles, they have lands, but they are there. Then they will run throughout Christmas and train hard, running morning to evening. I'm giving you an example. Running morning, evening. Then, when the season starts towards the end of February, they leave, they don't even go back home. They leave and board planes, and then you hear they won a marathon here and got $100,000. They won here and got $200,000. They won this, they won that. And they do that throughout the year until September when the season ends. Then they come back and eat their money until December. Then back to the same rhythm. You understand? Now, when I looked at it, I said that, do you know some of those girls are 22, 21, but they are that focused. And I'm saying, how can somebody at the age of 21 be this focused? But you see, what makes them that focused is there is something ahead of them, somebody who has done something which they look at and they want to aspire to be like. In other words, for them, their culture is not as limiting as ours. Ours, you just have to earn the first 100, 200,000, and then you're the best. You don't have to look any further. And so you never really achieve your potential. And now, as far as God is concerned, you are supposed to be a world beater, but he can only give you according to your ability, your own ability. That is the ability that you yourself has, that you've brought yourself into. Praise the Lord. Now, and these are some of the reasons. For instance, you grew up when the biggest issue you ever had was rent. Your parents maybe were struggling with rent and so on, or school fees. And now you grow up saying that, when I grow up, I don't want to have an issue of paying rent. Then you get somewhere and you actually build a house and now you don't have to pay rent. Now, as far as God is concerned, you're a world beater. As far as you're concerned, you've arrived. I remember some guy asked me someday, Wazimbo bocha pangisa. And I looked at him and I saw somebody who was trying to tell me he has arrived. Okay? Of course, the answer was in Chapangisa. But our dreams are different. For him, he has arrived. For me, even if I had a house, that would be, it's just a house. And you see, in a way, if you are to look at it in some different way, you can understand this person has struggled. We struggled throughout childhood now I have a house of my own. There is not going to be any landlord knocking on my door. My children are going to have school fees. I've arrived. And God is looking at you and you're supposed to be a global person. Somebody who has global dominion. And that is his ability. But your own ability is a house and maybe a car. So he says he gives to each according to his own ability. Now you see, that means that the purpose of everything that you do should be to grow your own ability. To come to the place where your own ability is the ability that God also has for you so that you match. If he sees you as this, you see yourself as that. Then he will give you in accordance to that. Not in accordance. So now, if you are due for 5 talents, that's what he gives you. But remember, you might find that the person who got 1 talent could actually had the ability to get 5 talents, but he had not developed his own ability. So he was worth 1. Actually, that's the thing with so many things. So, and then it says, and then the master went on a journey. Now, what are the things that actually grow people's ability? You know, I'll show you. Let's first go to Luke chapter 5, where Jesus calls Peter. Okay, and saw 2 lakes by the lake, and the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Okay. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Okay. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Listen to this. And their net was breaking. They got a great number of fish. And their net was what? Breaking. Now you see, don't you know that there are no idle phrases in the Bible? All of them they're pointing to a certain meaning. So now this is when Jesus was calling Peter. And Peter tells him, "Get away from me. I am a man of sinful lips," and so on. Jesus says, "Never mind. From now onwards, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men." Okay? Now, remember the symbolism, a fisher of men and the net. And here he's putting in the fish and the net is breaking. But now you see, after 3 years of following Jesus, 3 years of listening to Jesus, walking with him, doing all the things that they sent him out to do, including healing the sick and all that, he comes back to exactly the same place in John 21, after the resurrection of Jesus. Exactly where he was, he goes right back there. And again, he spends the whole night and still catches no fish, as it was 3 years ago. Now, when somebody looks from the outside, he says, "You've wasted 3 years. 3 years ago, you were spending all night without catching fish. 3 years have passed of you following Jesus, and nothing has changed." And in truth, if somebody was observing there and now, nothing has changed. On the outward, there is absolutely no change. He's still the same person struggling to catch fish. A fisherman who is struggling to catch fish. Okay? So not even good at what he's doing. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night, they caught nothing, as it was 3 years ago. Okay, go ahead. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. Okay? Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, but it's only in John that it is said the disciple Jesus loved. So he's the only one who said Jesus loved him. It is not in any other gospel. Okay? Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put out his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. Now, you see, there is a bit of a difference. The other time he was saying, get away from me, Lord. Now he's running towards him. But that's not it. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far off the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire on the coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish. Large fish. The other one says fish. This one says large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. 3 years ago, the net was broken. 3 years after, it seems like the same scenario, but now the net is not broken. In other words, his capacity has grown. His ability to handle has grown. Now, the other one did not even say large fish. Here it says large fish, like in Mputa. But now, there are so many of them, it even names them, 153. And he says, but even if there were so many, the net was not broken. Now, I'll tell you this. There was somebody who, some time ago, told me, he was somebody who was a bit advanced in age, and he had wanted to do all sorts of things, and they were not working out. So, you know, those you come from this, the other, the next thing, you know, 30, 40, you are going up different floors of your age, but nothing seems to be changing. Then one day, he told me that the Lord told him to start wake up at 3 a.m. and pray between 3 and 4 a.m. every day. Just pray between 3 and 4 a.m. So he did that. Now when he did, he told me that after some time, he stopped having those thoughts in his mind of you're a failure, look, you've done nothing with your life, look at, you know. And you know these things, eh? When somebody, if somebody would meet Peter, Simon Peter, and he's still at the lakeside, and he's still spending all night without catching, he says, you've wasted your time. Can you imagine you've wasted 3 years? Haven't some of you had stories like those? How long have you been attending that place? You've lost. Nothing has changed. No. Something has changed. Praise the Lord. Eh? Inwardly, your capacity is growing. Now, if you were due for one talent, you'll be given two or maybe five. You understand? Eh? But you see, first, you have to grow your own, you know, ability. You have to grow yourself as a person. So he said that then his thought pattern started changing. Previously, he would always have this thought that, you know, you're a failure and so on. And in reality, if you'd look from outside, that was true. It was difficult for him to argue against. Until he started doing this thing of praying at three. Then he said after some time, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, then suddenly his thought pattern started changing. Now he no longer got those negative thoughts from the devil. Now suddenly he started seeing things different. He started seeing himself as something is going to happen. He's on the brink of something. Something big is about to happen. And then he started getting excited about what's going to happen. On the outward, nothing has changed. But on the inward, you have moved miles. You understand? This Simon Peter, who was still there catching no fish, was a few weeks away from the whole of Jerusalem lining up to touch the hem of his garment. Actually, his shadow. But he could not have had that deposited in him, the other Simon Peter. But now after 3 years, his capacity had grown. And now the Lord knew that, okay, it's still back to the same thing of you're a bad fisherman and still we are here, but you are on the brink of something very big. Praise the Lord. You're on the brink of what? Because inwardly, you've covered distance. Distance. Now you can catch a lot of fish and your net is not going to break. That is, of course, speaking figuratively. You can catch a lot of fish and your net is not going to break. And therefore, you'll be given that fish to catch. Because now, you are in a position where you are able to handle it. Previously, you were not. Amen? Your nets were breaking. If you even dared get that, your nets were breaking. And that can even happen. You know? And you've seen so many people who are like that. I was seeing somewhere on social media a pastor who won 100 million Kenya shillings in a lottery. And he closed down the church and said that, now you guys, eh? He said that now you go and pray, we shall meet in heaven. That for me now, what I've been praying for is what? Is sorted. Eh? Now you see his net broke at 100 million. Eh? Like he does not have the capacity to handle that and still remain himself. And it was so funny, said in Kiswahili, eh? That we meet in heaven, you guys, you go and pray. For me, now I've made it. Like now you see, he was there And in it, perhaps you see him and you say, man, if this guy, if something, God needs to give it, do him a miracle. You see, he's a man of God, he loves God, but you see, he doesn't have money. And God is looking and saying, no, he doesn't have the capacity. Otherwise, if he had the capacity, the money would be there. Praise the Lord. If he had the capacity, you can't deceive yourself that you don't have money because God doesn't have money to give you. He doesn't want to give you. No. You will give to one 5 talents, to one, two, and one, according to their own ability, which they have developed themselves. Praise the Lord. So now this man, the nets broke at 100 million Kenya shillings. Okay, how much is that in Uganda? 3.7 billion, eh? The nets, man. The nets broke. Now, there are so many people who I see here, and I know that your net, just 100 million Uganda shillings, your net will break. Because you've not developed your capacity to that level where you can sit on 100 million shillings and you remain humble. Huh? Once you see, you know, once you know, there are people who, any amount of money you give them, it shows on them immediately. There's a gentleman who was locked up. He was working someplace, and he was locked up for apparently stealing some money from missionaries and so on. So they put him in prison and they sentenced him to quite some time. So his pastor, who was also my pastor at the time, went to the DPP and said that there is no way this guy can have stolen this money. The DPP said, "How do you know?" He said, "I'm telling you, this guy, even 5 million shillings, you would see has changed. Like he cannot be, he says this one, even 1 million shillings, you would see the change in him. And he's supposed to have stolen, I think, like 300 million. He said, there is no way he can have taken this money. I know this guy. If it was even 3 million, everything would have changed about him. So I'm sure he didn't steal the money. Of course, the DPP was a born-again guy, and he knew the pastor. So he said, "Pastor, can you confirm for sure that this guy didn't steal the money?" He said, "I can confirm the guy didn't steal the money. I know how he would look if he even had 3 million. I know exactly how he'd look." You know, there are people like that, eh? When they are broke, you can see it. When they have money, you can. So the DPP said, "Okay, we are dropping all charges." So now the guy said that he was there in prison. You know, they sentenced you. You know, you still have so many years. Then you hear them calling your name. And then they call you and they say, the government has dropped all charges against you. You are now free to go. The guy couldn't believe it. But anyway, the point is, it was just a story for Nyonges, eh? But the point is, there are people whom you know that this one, eh? Like even 5 million, you're different. Even the way you talk is different. Even the way you walk, everything is different. You see, eh? And now the trouble is, you might even say that I don't even need to, you know, go for fellowship or what, eh? You know, like the pastor, eh? You see, eh? And you don't know that people develop their own capacity by listening to words, okay? When you come here, and you listen to the words that I'm telling you, you're building capacity. Now, you can come for 1 year and maybe 2 years, and apparently there is no change. But there is a change. Amen? Now, when it comes to giving out the talents, it will be different with you. There is a change. There is something about you that has changed for all the time that you've listened to certain words. And it's not discernible to people outside. Now, you see, everybody is supposed to commit to making sure that the number one thing they do is build your capacity. Because that is going to determine the role that you're given and the deployment that will come to you. Because you might be having a God-given ability this big, but your own ability is this big. And that is it. And now once you get there and you become comfortable, everything in you changes. Have you ever seen people who have arrived, who have reached the pinnacle of what they think is success? They become terrible people. They start judging everybody. They start judging people who are in a pursuit. They start, belittling people who are trying to achieve something because they have not yet achieved it. And, you know, they become terrible people to be around. Now, you go to somebody like that and tell them you have a dream to be something big, and you see how they will tear you down in 1 minute. They would speak in 1 minute and they have torn you down from there to here because apparently they have arrived. Now, for you, you're building your capacity. You're like Simon Peter. You were here, you are still in the same car house. Like he was in the same situation. All night, no fish. You're in the same car house. 1 year has passed, 2 years have passed, 3 years have passed. In the eyes of everybody else, man, you're fake. You're a failure. And it's evident. You shouldn't even argue. You understand? But in the eyes of God, now we are going to hand you the biggest assignment ever. And now when that assignment comes, those people who are calling you a failure, somehow they vanish. And they, you know, they have a way of, sometimes they show up and they expect that because they know you, you're going to whatever, and things like that. But the most important thing is that you build your capacity. Let me tell you, every time, and now this is my quest as a person, because I know that I can only receive a commission from God that is in accordance to my own capacity, which I've developed myself. And I know over the years I have developed capacity from one stage to the other, to the other, to the other. But of course, I always look out and say, how close am I to what God sees? Am I in that place where I'm supposed to be? Is my own capacity and his capacity, as far as I'm concerned, are they anywhere matched, or am I still so far off? And of course, the truth is I'm so far off. And so every time I'm meditating, I'm thinking about expanding myself, expanding my capacity. And now when you expand your capacity, everything else follows after. Everything follows after that. Okay? These people, none of these people went and lobbied the master of the house to tell him that, no, you give me 5 talents. No, he himself chose to give them according to what he saw their own ability was. He himself. And so is the master of the house, the Lord. He will give you in accordance to what he sees your capacity is. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to that story. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to one 2, and to one 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Okay, he also who had received 2 talents and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents, and look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. Then his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, I want you to notice this one. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping. Now, I want you to know that this is the attitude of some people who are never going to grow their capacity. The first thing they know about God is he's a hard man. Have you ever seen people like that? They spend their lives apparently trying to live in holiness, 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 and they are the meanest people. You understand? Eh? Because they, you know what you understand of your master is going to determine so many things. Now, for somebody to gain 5 extra talents out of the 5 years, he has to go and take a risk. Now, if you take a risk, do business. Now, business is a risk. If you take a risk, you know that in case you fail, your master is not a hard man. He will understand, I tried to multiply the talents and I failed. But I tried. You told me to, you know. So you have to understand the gracious side of your master. And that's what gives you the confidence to go and trade with his money and multiply it. Or to go and do something with your ability to multiply your ability. So that from when the master gave out talents, your own ability was 5 talents. But now you've increased your own ability to 10 talents. And now from then onwards, he's going to deal with you accordingly. 10 talents, not 5 any longer. That level you've left. Now you see this one says, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you have not scattered. You know, there are actually some believers who think like this, who have a very bad attitude towards God. And they apparently believe in him, but their attitude towards him is. So he says, and I was afraid. Now that is the number one reason people never grow their own ability, because they are afraid. Number one reason, they're afraid. Afraid to fail. Afraid to lose what I have. Afraid it's not going to work. I can't even say it. I can't even say what I'm aspiring to be because I'm afraid. I can't even start what God has put in my heart because I'm afraid it might fail. Now, then they get the talent and bury it. So many of them. So, because of fear of losing, apparently, or fear of failing, or fear of being made fun of, or fear of being ridiculed, you understand? They put the talent in the ground. Now, that's how it is. Their motivation is fear. Fear is which arises from them not knowing their master. Okay? So they stay at that level, and even the one talent is taken away from them. And then he goes on to say, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Now notice that he calls him wicked. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Okay? So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has how many talents? Not five. He has 10 now. Actually, now he has 11. You see, eh? Now he was given 5, now he has 11. How did he get there? Number one, by taking risk, which some of you try to avoid, but you are going to bury your talent in the ground. You have to take risk. There are some people who can't do anything as long as it involves risk. They want everything to be assured. Man, you're already in the wrong place. Like, when you get into the place where you believe you can start something and go with it and take a risk, then there you're going to walk with God. You're not going to bury anything. So now you see this man who was worth 5 talents has grown his own ability to 11 talents. Okay? And then he goes on to say in the next one, for to everyone who has, more will be given. Very, very powerful statement, which confused so many people. I remember one day when I was working in New Vision, some guy who was a Catholic called me and told me, used to call me Cubs, first come here. Is it true that the Bible says that those who have shall get more and those who don't have even the little they have shall be taken out? Because it sounds very unfair. You know, looking at it from their perspective. I remember when I used to listen to it in the Catholic Church, and I'm saying, but why is that? Now he says, for to everyone who has, more will be given. So the guy asked me, is it true it's in the Bible? I said, it's in the Bible, and it's in the Bible so many times. The guy said, eh? Okay. Then he continued, to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now let me tell you, some of you here, what you have is going to be taken away and given to risk takers. So you're supposed to produce a powerful musical album, but because you're scared, I end up being the one producing the album. And you say, when did Watchman learn how to sing? Yoka one talent was taken away and given to me. You say, Watchman. And then the next thing, you know, people are singing to my music and dancing and what? You say, but we knew you don't know how to sing. But your talent will be taken away and given to me because you're fearing to take risk. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you learning something today? So now, you have to understand that we are in the risk business. There is nothing that we have done that is guaranteed. Absolutely nothing. Everything we set ourselves out to do, there is a risk factor. There is a possibility that it may not work out. But because the Lord is with us, so far it has worked out. Some haven't, but maybe it was for us to learn certain things. Okay? But there is a risk factor. And you have to take that risk factor. Because there are so many people here, whom some of you I know because, of course, like, you know, some people interact. And you look at somebody and you see they have a big ability to do something. But man, they can never step out in any form of risk. Nothing. They can never do anything that is going to put them out there as that's going to give them the possibility of failure. And then, as a result of that, they stay with what they have. And just that. And eventually they have nothing. And this is how it works. It will be given to somebody else. And you see somebody who is, he's in this, he's in that, he's in that. They apparently have a throne, you know, here. Then he has a throne here. Then he has a throne here. When you see somebody who has all those thrones, you know somebody else abdicated their responsibility. And their talent was taken and given to somebody who is moving, you know, to gain an evigenda, you see. So God sees he has given you a responsibility. Go and do this. So you do it. Okay? Then you start and do it and do it and develop and develop yourself. And now your own ability. He has given you a responsibility. Let's say, I'll give you a still example of myself. To go and preach the message of the end time to this country. Then you get your talent, over two, I don't know how many. And go and do whatever you want, you can really. And take risks. You see now taking risks, eh? Taking risks. I remember somebody came and told me that she was being led by the Lord to start a radio program. And she told me that she didn't have money. I have only money for 1 month. The person who the Lord gave me money for 1 month. What am I going to do after the 1 month? So I said, you pay for the 1 month. And after the 1 month, you get off radio. Because I knew how it works. So she came to me like 2.5 years later and she's still on radio. You see, eh? And if you do not take that risk, you will not be there. Now, you see, some of you might say that's like a small thing, but it was big for her, you see. Eh? And she has grown her own ability, you understand? Eh? From being scared, I don't have... Now, suddenly, she's comfortable being on radio and she no longer thinks where is the money going to come from. But now this time she came to me and she was saying, I feel led to move away from this house and to move to another house. But the rent is so prohibitive as far as I'm concerned. I look at my income. I said, you feel the Lord leading you to go there? She says, yes, I feel the Lord leading me to go there. Then I say that, how much does the landlord want? He said, I spoke to him actually, he can take 1 month. I said, you pay for 1 month. After that, you can shift. I said, but how can I shift after that? Then I reminded, you know, people forget. Then I reminded that, you remember when you came to me here and you had no money for radio? How many years ago is that? Are you on radio? Yes or no, that I'm on radio. Where did the money come from? That's exactly where it is going to come from now. Okay? But you see, until you are ready to take the risk, it is not going to happen for you. You remain with your car one talent, with your car house there, and you are there. Nothing changes. Nothing has changed in your life. All these years, you're listening to powerful words like this one, and you will still not shift. And by shift, I don't mean shift house. I mean, you still not move. Yet actually, you can take a decision and say, you know what? If God is with me, he's not going to let me be ashamed. You see, now that's a scripture which I like so much because I use it a lot. It says nobody trusts in the Lord and is ashamed. I have used it so many times and says, Lord, your word says that nobody trusted in you and was ashamed. I am not going to be the first one. Then I go and say, come and buy and buy. If I perish, I perish. And then you will never be ashamed. Never. Like, there is a way, even when you do stupid things, which I have done, somehow, if there is a background of trusting God, he will make sure you're never ashamed. Somehow, things will work out, and you seem to go in. And now what you're doing is you're developing your own ability. Every time you listen to powerful words, every time you give, let's say, you give. Now, when I learned how to walk in abundance, I never really judged my prosperity by what I had. I judged it by what I gave. So if I could give a certain amount of money a month, then I say that I've grown. Not by what I have, by what I give. So I saw it growing, 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 and I knew that I was building my own capacity. So now when the Lord comes to issue talents, he will give me talents accordingly. Okay? Every time you pray, every time you meditate, every time you do what, you're building your capacity, your inner capacity. You're like Peter who walks 3 years, nothing seems to change. But then, it is changing. And people might not see it. Even your relatives might say, but now, what are you doing with your life? Have you had those questions? We've had them a lot. What are you doing with your life? I used to tell them the key word there is my life. so you'll be fine. You know, people will come and ask you, say, why do you want to know what I'm doing with my life? It is my life. You've said it. So that's the most important part. Cheer me. But we know, the truth is you don't have an answer. And you don't know that deep down you're growing. Your capacity is growing. And actually, people, if you listen to that, they can even make you doubt yourself. So you stay away and you be rude sometimes to get, you know, take them off. And of course, I'm good at being rude. So, but the truth is you're masking your own what? Your own doubts. You don't want anybody to come and water your doubts. Because even you yourself, you have some. And if somebody comes and tells you, they can easily water them. And the next thing, you move from faith to doubt. So when somebody would come and ask me that, I would be very rude. And make sure they never ask it again. Praise the Lord. Then I protect my heart. Because I was still learning these things. Praise the Lord. I protect my heart. But now you start explaining to somebody. Then they say, now I don't know what. Now they are bringing you away from where you have been. Now all the distance you had moved is now going back. Praise the Lord. Let's go to, where is that story of Elisha and the... You know, you must pray, everybody, today, coming from here, that God expands your boundaries. Amen? Because that will determine everything that comes to you. It is not up to him, it is up to you. It is up to your own ability. To each he gave according to his own ability. Now, I know the things that would shake me now, there are things which would shake me, but they are much bigger than the things which used to shake me before. You understand? What has changed is my own ability. There were times when I would, I remember that time of the first Watchman conference. Oh, when I was trembling. Oh, what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work? What if God doesn't give the money? What if what? And now I tell you that, you know, people don't understand that. Like you do things in fear, in absolute fear, but you do it. And just to go and say, but God, I'm depending, you know, where you're, but you're in fear. Because you see, when people don't understand that, they think that you do things comfortably. Now, the last one, which was there, and you know, that time it was just gathering people, evening, yeah, not even a kasoda. Now we give people breakfast, we give them lunch. Some of them even eat supper. And we even transport them from up country. What has changed? My own ability. My capability. You see, And now, when you tell me there's going to be a Watchman conference and we're expecting 5,000 people, I don't shake at all. There, a few people, I was trembling like this. What has grown? My capacity. You see, Like, it can't threaten me that what are you going to do with this? No, it will not. But it has taken me risk. Taking one risk and the other for my own ability to grow. So that now, the next one we are planning this year, because we have to tell people. The other time we had 3,000, and Alfred said that the Lord told him next time will be double that. So I'm expecting 6,000. And we'll even give them breakfast and what? Lunch. Because we are big like that. Praise the Lord. My own ability has grown, but through, I hope you understand I'm not bragging, but my own ability has grown through risk, through, man, just stretching yourself. Now the things that I would, you cannot dream about some time ago, now come so easily and so almost seamlessly that you don't even think about it. You just pray about a date, then you get a date, so the Watchman Conference is going to be this date. Then you say this is the date. And then you wait. And then it costs the Lord. Praise the Lord. It does not cost me a coin, it costs the Lord. But now, imagine the other coward which was making me tremble. If, like, somebody had tried to do something this big, which we are planning this year, I would have just perhaps put a rope around my neck. Praise the Lord. But people who deliberately grow their ability, to them more is given. You understand? Now, there is more which is given to me because I have deliberately grown my ability, my own ability. Okay? Now, I don't know what God's ability for me is. Maybe I kind of have an idea. But I grow mine and keep on extending and extending and becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And therefore, so do the deployments that the Lord gives me. Now, you understand what this, for everyone who has more will be given. Okay? Yeah. Now, for you, you have buried your talent in the ground. God has $100 million to give. Okay, let's say 100 million Kenya shillings. Yeah? He sees if he gives you, you are going to say, ah, you guys are mad. Eh? Those things of yours, unfortunately. You're going to be like that pastor who said, that Pukutane Binguni, let's meet in heaven, man. Eh? You cheer me. Like, you told the congregation, leave me alone. All my prayers are answered. Eh? Now imagine, okay, he won it in the lottery. Now imagine if God had to give it between somebody whose capacity is bigger and somebody who has a small capacity. It will not go according to who has more need for it. You see, eh? And if you deceive yourself that it will come according to what, you know, I need it more. No, that doesn't matter. You can need it more than anybody else, but he will give it to the one who has the capacity to handle it. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go to that story where the widow. Now, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is come to take my two sons to be his slaves. Now, that's tight. Guys, those days were tight. Eh? You know, here, imagine they go and take you and you become a slave to pay money. Now, here in our laws, if you've taken loans and you cannot pay them back, all you need to do is go to Luzira for 6 months and all your sins are forgiven. All your creditors have to bust. So if you can, and I know some magistrate who told me this man came and he had taken loans to do businesses. I know sometimes people have the desire to pay, but the things for which they took the loans just didn't work out. You understand? So there were all these people all over him and what? So the magistrate asked him that, what do you have that you can liquidate? He said, the truth is the only thing I have is my family home where my children stay. The magistrate said, you know what? Don't sell that one. Just accept. Go and chill at the water for 6 months. And after 6 months, all your creditors have to bust. No matter how big your loans are, once you sleep there for 6 months. And when I was there, there were so many such people who were there to what? Because of debt. Actually, one of them asked me. Because, you know, there are categories of people. And the people who are debtors look a bit smarter and so on, some of them, you know. So I think somebody came and told, what crime did you do? Only debtor. But Bambi, it's tight, eh? Because I'm telling you, you see people who are prosperity guys, eh? But they are man in a very miserable life. In a purgatory for 6 months. Pirigatory. Where did I get that? Anyway. And now you see, there was a guy who was counting for me, man. Eh? And I'm end of January, I'm leaving. Eh? My 6 months are almost over. Then I told him, man, for you, almost. But for me, my 2 weeks were like 2 years, man. Now, for me, I'm thinking, I'm left with 3 days to go to court. If that magistrate says you're going back, eh, I'm going to jump on her neck, man. Okay, I wasn't going to do that, but you know. My point is, and when I was saying January, me, I'm thinking, Christmas in this place. Eh? Like, I had my Christmas plans. There was even a tournament I was sponsoring in Hoima, what? And you're here, man. Imagine you live in January. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so these guys were not a joke. Eh? You take money and you don't pay, they come and take your sons to be slaves. Eh? Yeah. There was no 6 month rule. That was just a story to light up the mood. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Now, this is the first thing, and I'm going to end here. This is the first step that you do. It's always about, what do you have? What is it that you have? Now, you see, there are people who God has sent to do powerful things, apparently big things, And they are so overwhelmed. But you mean God expects me to do this and this and this? And actually, they have all it takes in their hands. And God will never tell you to do something until you have what it takes in your hand. It's always about what do you have. So, and she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Okay, go ahead. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not gather just a few. Now, I want you to see this, that expanding your ability sometimes involves borrowing vessels, doing things which apparently are out of your reach, okay? Which somebody looks and says, you can go and buy a car which apparently you can't afford, but you've borrowed a vessel, and there will be oil enough to fill that vessel. Don't buy it on loan, lest they take your sons to be what? Anyhow, but my point is, you can do, there are certain things you can do where you're actually borrowing vessels. You can choose to go and stay in a place where people look at you, they look at your job, and they say, no, you don't belong here, but you've borrowed that car vessel. And say, now I'm here. Let me see how I'm going to expand. And you know what happens? You actually increase your capacity, your own ability. And your own ability fits into that because you've stepped there. Now that is borrowing vessels. Because if you told him, go and use your own vessels, there would be few. How many? He doesn't expect to have a lot of oil. But says, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, go and gather. And says, and do not gather just a few. Gather as many as possible. Now, I don't want to tell you examples of things where I've had to actually borrow vessels. And you borrow a vessel and you find that actually you fitted into that vessel. But when you were doing it, you were borrowing it because there's no way you could actually think that you are of that stature. But then when you go there, you become of that stature. And now that becomes you. And now if you were 2 talents, you are now at 5. Because you stretched yourself and said, no, they gave me 2 talents, but no, I'm going to, expand myself to 5 talents. So anyhow, empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour into all those vessels. First of all, I want you to notice something here. You know, these supernatural things do not move well with talking too much. When you are building something, don't talk. There are people who are on the brink of a testimony, then they talk. Then it falls apart. And it happens so many times. A testimony is cooking, and it's not yet time to say it. Just shut up. But then you have to talk. Then you talk. Then people ask you 1 year later, what happened to the other thing you said you are going to get? Man, that guy was a mufere. He wasn't. You talked. You see, Now, these things, there's a reason why he tells us, shut yourself in the house. Like, you can't go and start pouring oil when everybody is seeing. There will be no miracle. It has to be between you and your sons. Lock yourself there. Let it happen there. Now, you see, there are certain things where, you know, this Elisha, when the Shunammite woman came and told him her son is dead. You see, all these things have a reason. Then he tells his servant, Gehazi, get this stick and go. Don't greet anybody on the way. If anybody greets you, don't answer back. Idle words leak power. He has given you the power. Any word you say is going to leak. The power is going to leak. So he says, don't say anything. He says, I'm giving you my stick. Go with it. Don't speak to anybody on the way until you get there and they put the stick on the child. Okay? Now, it's actually a watchman who said, idle words leak power. So now he has transferred to him Elisha, because perhaps he's lazy to go there. He has transferred to him the power of Elisha. Take this stick. So you're going with the power of Elisha. Then you meet somebody, you talk, the power starts leaking. By the time you reach there, the child is not raised from the dead. As actually, the child wasn't raised from the dead. And the woman, I think, didn't trust Gehazi. She saw in him Bituri. So she fell to Elisha and said, you're joking. We have to go together. I am not going with this servant of sticks and what. He said, we are going together. So Elisha was compelled to go with her. But you see, the point I'm trying to make here is this. If you are trying to build something that is precious to you, build your capacity. Don't talk. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. I remember some preacher, a friend of mine, told me a story of when one day he felt led, left where he stays somewhere in the outskirts of Kampala, and felt led to go and do sauna at Grand Imperial. So he arrives there. So he enters the sauna and he finds some American man, a huge guy, apparently big, you know, sizable guy. Then they start talking. Then he starts telling him certain things. And the man was born again and he had come here to do, you know, certain things. And he was apparently a rich person. And then this guy just starts talking. And yet he's talking things which this man needed to hear and which, like, the Lord had told him he was going to. So he asks him questions. This guy starts talking. You know when you're talking and you're just talking, you see, eh? But actually you're prophesying. So he talked. I remember somebody, a man of God from within, this remnant revolution, came to me one day. Then, I don't know, for some reason I started saying, you know, one of the things that kills men of God is they decide to go and get jobs. You go and get a job, and then afterwards everything goes and what? Then you lose this, lose that. Then I noticed the guy was keeping quiet, looking at me like this. And then I was talking. When I finished talking, that was so many years ago, the guy told me, "But man, you're prophetic." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "This morning I've had a debate with myself. Should I go and get a job? Should I not?" Then he said, "You see," even he started giving examples of men of God who had jobs and so on, even so and so. And he was almost convinced to go and start looking for a job. I think, of course, finance was tight. Now, without him ever telling me what he was thinking about the whole day, I just gave him the answer there, bam! And he says, "Now this has settled it. I am not going to get a job." And that was settled. Now, sometimes people prophesy like that. So many times, people prophesy like that. So, this man was prophesying to this man, but he didn't know. He was just talking. As far as he was concerned, he was just giving stories. So the man was so touched. He noticed the man was quiet and kept quiet and listened. Then at the end, he said, "What's wrong, you also?" The guy said, "You know what? God sent me here to meet you. This is exactly what I needed to hear." Then he told him that, "I am going to give you the biggest seed I've ever given anybody." Now, this is a rich man, some American guy. Okay, not too rich, but you know. "I'm going to give you the biggest seed I've ever given anybody." So, yeah, okay, that's good. Now, he said that was a Saturday. On Sunday, when he was preaching, the following day, he said, "Kakati neguru, nawademu sauna." Did he ever get the seed? Nothing. Then you say the man was a mufere. He was not. You talk too much. If he had kept quiet until he got the seed, then he can talk about it. But he missed out. And now that's how it works. You see, these people say, "Don't talk to anybody. Don't touch anything." Remember the story of the old prophet? The guy goes, and then they tell him, "Come and eat food." That, the person who sent me told me I should not eat. I should not even turn. Why are you saying all that? Like the guy was immature. You see, you are arming your enemies. There are things which you are not supposed to speak. And so the king says, "Okay, come and I reward you." No, I don't want your reward. Even if you give me half of your house in gold, I don't want. But even, because the person who sent me told me I should not eat, I should not go back by the way that I came, that I should not eat. Why are you saying all that? Like it is too much information. Now, the sons of the old prophet were there and they had it. So they went and armed the old prophet and told him how to mess up the guy. If he had kept quiet, the old prophet would not have known what to do. But of course, the old prophet wanted to mess him up. So the sons told him, the man said he should not eat. He should not say, okay. Then he goes and meets him. And now, man, that story is so interesting. Anyway, the purpose of me telling you is here. Sometimes when you are working out something, a miracle, even a financial one, wait for it to come out. Don't fumble. Like, keep quiet until you have an actual testimony. You come and tell people, "Somebody has promised me." So do you have it? So you'll be like this man. You see? Now, this gentleman who told me this story is the one who told me that thing of what? So he was wondering, why isn't this guy giving me the money, because he had left him with these contacts, and you know, you're looking at your phone every time expecting what? Phone to ring and say, "Now come for that very big seed." And the phone does not ring. Then when he was trying to wonder why not, he said that the Lord spoke to him and told him, "You know, God knows Luganda." Anyway, I'm joking. That's a joke. So he said, God told him that osobola okutta empologoma n'osirika. Just that one sentence. And I know how the Lord works. He will tell you one thing and you'll understand the bigger picture of what he's saying. And now he understood that David had killed lions and bears, but he wasn't going telling everybody. It wasn't yet time for the testimony. There was a proper time for the testimony. Praise the Lord. There is a proper time for what? Don't give it before its time. Now, nobody knew that David had to kill lions and bears in order to bring back the number of sheep that he had taken. His father didn't know, his brothers didn't know. He just did his things there and came back no more. And they think it has been a normal day. But they didn't know he has killed a lion or a bear. And he did not tell them. Now, it's only when he was before the king and the king tells him that, can you manage this man? He says, I've killed lions and bears. If the brothers were there, say, when did you? We don't know. He didn't have to tell you, you're useless. He's telling it where it matters. He's telling the testimony where it what? Matters. But you see something, you go and talk, to, you talk. Anyway. So he says, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. Then, when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour in into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Okay? So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Now, you see, the oil ceases at the point, you understand what that is, eh? I don't even have to explain, eh? Your capacity is what determines the oil. It's not the oil. The oil could have gone on and on and on and on as long as they had vessels which were empty. But as long as empty vessels ended, the oil ended. You understand? The miracle ended. So now, the capacity, that ability to borrow vessels and increase your capacity, the oil will end when the vessels end. And then you say, oh, is there any other vessel? None. Then the oil ceases. Is it going to come back another time? No. That is it. Praise the Lord. First, go to Psalms 18, verse 19. So now, this is what I want you to ask God here today. To deliver me into a broad place. Okay? He also brought me out into a broad place. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, God is enlarging your territories. Praise the Lord. God is enlarging your own ability. With your help, of course. Stand up. I want you to stand up and just ask God in your words, in a few minutes, and we leave this place, to enlarge your territory, to enlarge your own territory, okay? And think about it. Think about areas, places where you've limited yourself and where you can actually enlarge your own ability. Your own capacity and grow your own capacity. And I'm sure I want everybody to concentrate. Think about it now. Because the Lord wants to enlarge your capacity to a point where your ability to handle certain things is, you know, you have an ability to handle much bigger things than you've been handling before. Praise the Lord. So now think about that.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at The Realm, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy, opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money line, that is +256 780 290 555, or +256 755 290 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministry, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.